I want to give you the picture of the God we are serving. He's bigger than all. The Bible says heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. The footstool. So it sits from heaven to the earth. It's a big God. Hallelujah. Therefore, when it happens like that, these people did all the rituals they would do. They cut themselves. They shouted. Even Elijah said, shout more. Maybe Baal is sleeping so that he can wake up. They shouted and Elijah said, maybe he has traveled. You have to find out which country he has gone to. Amen. They did their best, but Baal could not respond. The reason is that a challenge has been thrown. The name of God has been mentioned. Amen. Many a time, we need to throw challenge to people who worship other gods to let them know that our God is the supreme God. Their God are lesser gods. We need to, and they will believe. Paul did it when he reached Athens. Amen. Debated worship for people to know who must be worshipped. Hallelujah. Now let's continue with verse 30. Then Elijah said to all the people, come here to me. They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which was in ruins. Look at this. Because of the worshipping of Baal, they destroyed God's altar. And anytime a Christian decides to do another thing apart from worshipping God, it destroys God's altar, which is his heart. The altar of God is your heart. The Bible says, the heart of man is the candle of God. Amen. The heart of man, or the spirit of man, is the candle of God. And do you know where they put the candle? It's easy for you to see. You see the candle? It's on what? The altar. So if your heart now is the candle of God, that is where God dwells. And anytime you take the heart to give it to another thing, you are robbing God of his altar. You destroy the altar. The moment Israel, Jezebel brought the worship of Baal to Israel, Israel destroyed the altar of God. Anytime you let another thing take the place of God on your heart, that thing becomes first on your heart. That thing becomes the thing you cherish more than God. You are destroying God's altar. And the jealousy of God will come upon you. His anger will rise against you. Amen. They destroy the altar. And let's see something. Verse 31. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, your name shall be Israel. Israel had 12 tribes. So he took 12 stones. Amen. Always God knows this one represents the whole nation of Israel. That is why Jesus chose 12 apostles, 12 disciples coming from Israel. 12 Jewish disciples, so that when they begin to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to them and they rejected it, later on they will meet the same 12. Jesus said, you will sit on thrones in heaven judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Do you know he told them? He said, you are going to sit on 12 thrones in heaven judging the 12 tribes of Israel because you spoke the message to them and they rejected it. He said, I came to my own, but my own did not receive me. And they that received me, to them gave me them power to become the children of God. Amen. So, many a times God makes sure the completeness of the power of God for Israel is for the 12 tribes. Amen. Elijah understands spiritual things. So, the worshiping of God don't belong to one tribe, don't belong to two tribes, but belong to 12 tribes, which means the whole of Israel. The worshiping of God don't belong to part of Christianity. It belongs to the whole of Christianity. The worshiping of God belongs to the whole of your life. God wants the whole of you, 100%. He don't even want 99% of you. He wants the completeness of you. When you take 1% away from God's hands, God will be annoyed with you. So Elijah repaired the altar that has been destroyed and set 12 stones there. So that the 12 tribes can be restored spiritually. Verse 32. With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it large enough to hold two seas of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, fill four large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood. Elijah did something that these people didn't do. Amen. After building up his altar, he dug a big trench, big hole around the altar. Amen. And he told the people, pour water upon the sacrifices so that water will cover the whole of the altar. So if water is covering, how can fire burn in the midst of water? Elijah wanted them to see the God of miracles. They didn't put water on their sacrifice, but Elijah went further. He just wanted to prove a point to the whole of Israel. Who deserves worship? Amen. Debated worship. Verse 34. Do it again, he said, and they did it again. Because the water needs to be more. My Jesus. Brethren, you are serving a God whose name is the great God of wonders, the God of miracles. When you are working with him, you need not to be afraid of anything. Don't let anything divert your heart so that your heart focus on another thing and leave God aside. Let your heart and everything be on him, and miraculous things will come to you. Are you with me? All these things Elijah was doing, I never see in the Bible Elijah asking God's permission, should I do it? But Elijah went ahead doing it because he knows the God is serving. So long as he is fighting for nobody but him, he will answer him. Are you with me? He will answer him. He's challenging people in the name of the Lord, not on his own name. God will answer him. Then he said, do it a third time. He ordered, and they did it the third time. Verse 35. The water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. 36. At the same time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed. Listen to the prayer of Elijah. Oh Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and I've done all these things at your command. Amen. He's doing all these things because he knows God has commanded the people of Israel to worship him. And he is doing all these things because he has to prove a point that God alone deserves worship. Brethren, every effort that you will make for people to know that Jehovah, the great King of glory, alone deserves worship, God will support you for that. I'm telling you. Because the devil has caused God to lose his worship in the hands of many human beings he has created. So if God can use you to bring them back to God, to realize that God alone deserves to be worshipped, God will bring promotion to your life. He will honor everything, every word you say. Anything you say, so long as he's going to bring the person's mind to his worship. Because one thing that God cannot do is to worship himself. So he created human beings to worship him, and he needs his worship. And the devil is moving up and down to make sure God's worship is taken away from him. So if you avail yourself for God to use you to bring somebody back to his senses to worship God, God will support you in everything you do. That is where you will see the miraculous move of God in your life. Are you with me? Amen. Let me continue. Verse 37. Elijah said, answer me, O Lord. Answer me, so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. A lot of people are perishing. A lot of people are worshiping other things. When you look at Dutchland here, a lot of people are worshiping many things that you don't know. Today, a lot of people are following Baha'ism, Buddhism. Many people even are going wayward. Amen. Because their lifestyle is, they want to believe what they see with their eyes. If they don't see it, they can't believe it well. And the devil, as for the devil, if you have that kind of a lifestyle, he will do it for you. Amen. A lot of people believe this magician, David Copperfield, even more than Jesus. Because he can perform certain things, and you will see it live. He will ask you. I remember one time I was talking to a German lady that he should give his life to Jesus. She said, I need 1,000. That time it was Mark's time. I need 1,000 marks right now to do something. If your Jesus can give me. If your Jesus can give me that 1,000 marks, I will believe in it. Then I told them, my Jesus is not a magician. But he needs your heart first. Then when he gets your heart, he will give you your heart desire. But if you are not ready for him, he's not begging you. He's not forcing you to serve him. He said, whosoever will may come. Yesterday we read something. At the prayer meeting, he said, I'm standing at the door knocking. Whoever opens to me, I will come in. So worshiping of God is not force. He wants you to come with your free heart. Then when you come, you will see his wonders in your life. Amen. If you are with me, put your hands together for Jesus. Let's continue now. Immediately after the prayer of Elijah, look at what happened. Verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. It licked up all the water in the trench. So you realize that it's not a small fire. Great one. Verse 39. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. The Lord in the Old Testament is Jehovah Adonai. They said, Jehovah Adonai, he is God, not Baal. The moment they saw the wonders, even packing a lot of water, and the fire came, consumed the sacrifices, and burned all the water, and the whole ground became dry. And the Bible says, Elijah didn't ask them to prostrate, to go down and worship, but they themselves, when they saw it, they went down, and they say, Jehovah Adonai, the Lord, is God. Amen. Debated worship. They debated over who deserve worship. Who should be adored. And at the end of it all, God proved supreme. Many a times, we need to prove to people that the God we are serving, he alone deserves worship. Not Buddha. Amen. Not Baha'i. Not any other God. But a God whose name in our lives today is Jesus. Are you with me? He does wondrous things that nobody can do. Check all the other religions. Which prophets that claim that he founded this religion and he has done greater things that you have heard of? Buddha doesn't do anything that you have heard of. Muhammad didn't do any miracle that you have. Have you heard of any miracle from Muhammad before? Or any other one? But miracles from Jesus. And he has prophesied into the end time. And every prophecy that he has given, we are seeing it with our eyes. They are coming to pass one by one. Even after 2,000 years. Are you with me? So you ask yourself, which one will you follow? One thing that I always talk about, that I love to be in Christianity, is that Jesus gave me an assurance. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I will come back and take you there. And there you will be with me all the days of your life. No other prophet that has founded any religion has given this promise. Are you with me? So if I serve him with all my heart and he didn't come to take me to fulfill his promise, I'll ask him, Jesus, why? I have something to stand on. But when you are following others, they haven't given me any promise. And nothing happened. Who are you going to hold? You don't have anything. Are you with me? You don't have anything. But he has given you his promise. In my father's house, there are many mansions. And I want to sleep in one of them. It's a promise. Who has promised you anything? And he said, he doesn't say even, he said, I will come back and take you there. We are still waiting for his second coming. And so long as he has promised, he will come. The Bible says Noah was 500 years old when God told him, build an ark.